All right, tonight we are on the 10th step on the Wednesday night meeting. I have the handout from the steps we took by Joe McHugh. Joe McHugh and Charlie P. They started the Joe and Charlie Big Book meetings in 1980. This book that we're studying, the steps we took, can be purchased either in Amazon or at some bookstores, but you can get it. I probably bought 100 of them, so I don't mind covering it in the meeting and using the handout. It's helped me a lot. It's a very powerful way of, if you want to sponsor somebody and go through the book, you can use the steps we took because it follows the Big Book. Joe and Charlie made the Big Book come alive, and you'll hear tonight there's some powerful information that we're going to share. We're on step 10. I think I did two or three meetings where we read the instructions in the book on page 84 and 85. They're powerful pages. I go to a lot of discussion meetings. Nobody ever reads those pages as a topic. We're on the 10th step on this month on all the reflections. I haven't heard anybody read the paragraph on page 84, which tells us how we're supposed to live each day. Why do I say that? Because I think the whole program, the whole reason we're here, the whole reason we go to AA is because I want to solve one problem. My one problem is my conscious, in my mind, my separation from God and other people. And when I do that, I'm on my own. I have no power to live. I get angry and afraid, and I harm other people. And my life turns to you know what. And I don't feel good. And when I'm separated from God, I have no power not to drink. And if I live separated from God long enough sober, there'll come a day at certain times I won't be able to see the truth about alcohol and I'll drink again. Anybody do that experiment? Let's not do it again. So the whole deal is how I can live in conscious contact with God. That's really what it's all about. How I can practice the principles in all our affairs. We talk about the 12th step a lot, you know. That's people think it's making coffee, going to meetings, working with someone else. But the real powerful part of the 12th step is how to practice. Can you practice these principles in all your affairs? If you can, your life will change. And the 10th step is how we practice the principles in all our affairs each day. Now, if I'm in conscious separation from God and others, notice God and others. I used to say God, but I listened to Chuck C. again today, and he's the one who says it's separation from God and others. I separate myself from other people with my judgment, my intolerance, my criticism, my fear, my self-centeredness. I separate between me and them. And when I do that, then I'm automatically separated from God. So the 10th step is how I live each day with other people in the world, and I learn how when I start to separate from them through my self-centered thinking, I can change with God's help, and I can get back to Him. Because when I'm with Him, then they don't look bad anymore. And things don't look bad, and things change. And I'm not disturbed, right? And I don't have to feel bad. Now I have a choice today. Do I want to separate from God or not? And that's the choice I make. And then I have tools now, because I live in step 10, then I don't have to be that way anymore. And remember on page 84, the paragraph I talked about that's so powerful. It really should be read at every meeting. It says, I'm in the world of the Spirit. Well, I want to get to the world of the Spirit. If you're new, you want to get there. What does it mean? Well, what's the world not in the Spirit? Well, the world not in the Spirit is a world in which I'm in conscious contact with me, and I'm in separation from God and others. Now, that world didn't work for me. It's never going to work for me. So I want to be in the world of the Spirit. It says we've entered that on page 84 if we work step through 9. We have enough tools now that we have a relationship with God. And the promises are talked about, the 9th step promises. It says, suddenly I will realize that God can do for me what I could not do for myself. And one thing is, I can see the truth about my thinking, and I don't have to act on it. So in the world of the Spirit, I'm with God. Now, it's a very fragile place, because what's the next line? It says we want to grow in understanding and effectiveness in there. And it says we have to do the following. It's called WADAT, W-A-D-A-T. We have to watch for selfishness, dishonest, resentment, and fear. It says when, not if, these crop up. They're going to crop up. Now, notice the word crop up. It means that you're starting to see it because you're watching with God. So you start out your day, you pray, you meditate, you go to work or whatever, and you're with God. And then you can start seeing when you're getting bothered or irritated or judging or gossiping or getting afraid. And you don't have to go there. You can stop right away, and you're supposed to do what? Ask God to remove it. Just say, God, remove it. If you do that, it'll go. And then it says, so that's the watch. You ask God, and then it says you discuss it with someone else because you may not be able to see the truth about it. So if it stays around, discuss it with somebody. It doesn't say you have to discuss it with your sponsor or an alcoholic. You can discuss it with anybody that will help you see how your thinking is wrong. Change the way you see it. And then it says you make amends if you've harmed anybody. It also doesn't say this, but it's implied that you forgive anybody who you thought harmed you. You forgive and you make amends. It's not a complicated thing because you don't want to stay angry, right? You don't want to be disturbed because then you're consciously separated from God and others. And then it says you turn, resolutely turn your thoughts away from you and the crap to others you can help. It doesn't say alcoholics. It can be anybody. You're at work, try to help somebody in your job. Try to help God or others. You're in AA meeting, try to help somebody. If you're at home, try to turn your thoughts away from you to those in your house. Turning your thoughts away from you is good. Turning your thoughts to you is bad. And so those are the tools in one paragraph that I use all day long. Now we're starting on step 10, and let's see what Joe says about these things. It's three pages. We may go a little long. We may not have time for a lot of discussion, but I hope you'll find it's worth it. We're going to be on page 127 in this handout. It says, since we are told to do this daily, this is a daily way I stay in contact with God. Now, if you try to do this the best you can every day, your life will get better. You're not going to do it perfectly. So we have a step called step 11, and in the big book on page 86, it says when you retire at night, you look at your day. And you look at your day where you were separated from God. It says, where were you dishonest, selfish, or afraid? Were you thinking of yourself all the time? Were you thinking of others? Were you trying to pack things into the stream of life or just thinking about yourself? And then you ask God's forgiveness and corrective measures, you see? So we have the thing we do at night to review how well we stayed in conscious contact during the day. And then we learn from that. We ask God's forgiveness so we don't have to beat ourselves up. And then how we can have corrective measures, how he can change the way we see things the next day. And then you wake up in the morning and you ask God to direct your thinking. This is how the program's laid out. Day, inventory at night, start out in the morning with God directing your thinking. Hopefully you've taken care of everything in that day. It says, we're told to do this daily. And some people think that you're supposed to do it at night before you go to bed. I hear that a lot. But the step 10 is the step throughout the day. It's the daily walk with God. Are you with God or are you in self? And it says, and why do we need that? Because sober is when the disease is. And the disease is when I'm self, right? So I'm going to watch all day long. I don't want to live in the disease, right? I want to live in the solution. So step 10 is how you get out of the disease and get in the solution. And it can be all day long. You want to get the beam going straight. The beam may get off track, but you want to plow forward. And it says, and we see if we hurt anybody, ask forgiveness and jump in bed. But most humans get into trouble in the daytime. So the instructions at night on how to review the day are actually in step 11. Most people think they're in step 10. He says, I think the step does mean that when we hurt anyone, we set it right. Because that's really the steps 8 and 9. The step says we continue to take personal inventory. I'm inventorying my personality all day long to see when I'm separating from God, getting into my personality versus a relationship with God. And then it says, when wrong, promptly admitted it. Well, it says we make amends, but here he talks about what I've talked about. So, God, I must have been right about something. It says we are wrong, probably admitted. It also means, and this is in italics, we admit to ourselves we are once again the troublesome, uncomfortable behavior way of thinking. And I've always said that we admit when our thinking is mistaken, when we're back in self, and then we watch for that all day long. And when I came in here, I couldn't admit it because I didn't know it was bad. You know, my resentments were always right. Anybody else have that? My fear was always justified. And all my actions were always justified. It was a mess. It was very sick. I don't want to live that way anymore. So now I have tools in step 10 to watch for when my thinking's getting off track. How do I know? I'm starting to get afraid. I'm gossiping about somebody. I'm saying negative about somebody to my wife in the house. I'm thinking about some fear that may happen. I don't want to live that way anymore. And it says on the next page, it says, usually when we have physical pain, we know it indicates something is wrong, right? And we stop immediately to see what we could do to relieve it. But he's talking about all day long, what is our emotional pain? It's when we're disturbed, we're bothered, we feel unsettled. Anybody ever get that? You're a little unsettled during the day?
Yeah.
And you don't even know what it is, but it's probably a fear that came up at 8 in the morning that you're still, is bothering you at 10, and you can't even put your finger on it. And it says, with emotional pains, we try to take it on, try to live with it, instead of trying to find out what is causing it. And some alcoholics don't even know they're in emotional pain. I've been at meetings where people say they never get resentments every day. Well, I don't know where they live or what they've got in their head, but it isn't what I have. Maybe they don't have what I have. I can't say. But alcoholics will get thoughts in their heads that don't make sense, and will act and will believe them and will think they're true. Anybody else do that ever? And if we actually took a video of our minds, we looked at it, we could see how preposterous it is. But when it's in our mind, we can't see it. We just act on it. We don't want to act on that anymore. We don't want to see it's true. I call that my thinker. And my thinker, I don't believe anymore. And some people call it the ego. Some people call it Satan. It's the thought process that we tell ourselves. And some people call it old ideas. But there are things that we get in our head that we used to believe and we would act on them. And now I don't want to act on them anymore. Why? Because in my fourth step, I could see them. I could see the result of my life, all my resentment, all my fears, all the harms. Everybody with me so far? So it says, pain is a symptom. When we have emotional pain, we should be aware that something has gone wrong or is about to go wrong. We want to nip it in the bud. So when we have emotional pain, we need to stop and we need to inventory it instead of sleeping it under the rug. So we want to live in the solution I wrote in the world of the spirit. And when we're disturbed, there's something wrong with me, right? I'm in emotional pain. If I'm in emotional pain, it's not what's going on out there, it's the way I'm seeing it. Because I can see it with God, and it says God will help me handle calamity with serenity. No matter what's going on out there, I'll be able to see it. I don't have to have emotional pain over it. I may not like it, or it may not be uncomfortable, but God will give me the power to deal with it. It says we're not encouraged to just talk about it. Now, this is, see if there's any of this is true. He says this is a positive program where we can deal with emotional pain and eliminate it. He says, I think one of the mistakes many people are making today is this. Not only individuals, but groups of people get together and talk about their problems. You ever been in any meeting like that? Anybody hear anybody say when they lead, they say, now does anybody have a problem that they want to share about? Why would I want to hear about somebody's problem? I want to hear about their solution. If they have a problem, they need to talk to their sponsor, talk to someone, and see the truth about it. But they'll talk about the problem, and then everybody will tell them, oh yeah, that's a bad problem. And then how their problems are bad, and oh yeah, you're right to feel that way, and all that nonsense. It's just alcoholism. Got them on tape. I don't know what they're going to think of this. But it's true, and if you've ever been at these discussion meetings, you see it. And we don't want to live in the problem. We want to live in the solution. We want somebody to say to that person, you know, we have a solution to this. We have steps that you can take. You don't have to feel that way. And you should find somebody after the meeting and see if you can talk to them about it. And read pages 63 to 71, and you'll find the answer. It says, they never seem to talk about what to do about them. They just discuss them over and over. Remember, the more you discuss it, the more power it has. And it becomes so powerful. And it may start out as a little problem. The more you talk about it, the more you think about it, it really is built up into such a big thing. And it really isn't. You've made it that way. I like, he says, when friends get together, they say, I had a bad day. Tell me what yours was like. But if I have a bad day today, it's my fault. It's the way I saw the world. All my days should be peaceful and serene. I shouldn't have a bad day. It's a bad day. I told myself it was bad. And I shouldn't have a day that's good depending on good things that I see. It should always be good. It should always be peaceful. Things are going to happen. We have a power now with God. So we don't have to get disturbed. Bad things can happen, but we have a power so we can handle them and we can deal with them because we can't change what's out there. It is what it is, and we have to accept it and deal with it. It says there's no growth in if you're dealing with the problems, and he calls this group sickness. He says this is not what we're talking about. And I think that's the problem. Sometimes at meetings, people are new. They don't understand. We're supposed to take our problems and see the solution. We're supposed to change the way we see it. And it says, we're talking about a positive program where we look at problems head on, analyze them, get down to the causes and conditions. And that's what we do in step four. And use the tools we've learned to get rid of the problems. Remember, it says, God, who solves our problem, it says, on page 45? God does. God solves it by taking it away, and he solves it by saying it's not a problem, it's a situation. It's just a situation. And then we use the serenity prayer. What do I accept or what do I change? But if I don't have God to give me the serenity, I don't see what the difference. I don't know what to change and what to accept, and I just see it as a problem. And a lot of times I'll try to change something I need to accept, and then it gets worse. Anybody ever do that? And because when we're on our own, we can't see the difference. That's why it says, God, give me the serenity. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the serenity prayer. We're talking about the St. Francis prayer. We're talking about all these tools. The more we use the tools, the more skilled we're going to become at them. And that's why in the beginning, you talk about your day with your sponsor. You go through it. Sometimes you inventory. You write it out. It says, step 10 is not a new process. It's steps 4 through 9 done every day as a habit. And it doesn't say you do step 10 perfectly. It doesn't say at night you shouldn't have gotten resentful, fearful, selfish, self-seeking. It may happen. You don't beat yourself about it anymore, but you look at it and you see the truth about it, so you don't do it the next day. And the more you do it, you're very quick to see yourself. Brian was talking last week. We stop right away. We can start to see when we're getting that fear, we're getting bothered or agitated. We can stop and we can use the tools. We don't have to go there anymore. Somebody said, the trains may still run through, but we don't let them stop at the station. We just let them go right through. And we don't have to give power to any of these thoughts anymore. He says, people in religions have these tools, but often they just tell people, you ought to have a spiritual experience and live in harmony with God and your fellow man. They fail to give people a program. The tools will enable them to have a spiritual experience and live in harmony. So step 10 is a habit of practicing a new way of living. Joe and Charlie make the point that we practice the self-centered way of living very good. We were very good at it, and it made our lives miserable. So we're going to practice a different way. We're going to use 6 and 7 all day long to change the way we see. We're going to look at, when we're bothered, what character defects are coming in and see it differently. He talks about Christianity has all the simplicity of these steps. It's absolutely true. I've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount has all the information you need to work the steps. And then we're lucky because we took the Sermon on the Mount. We have tools on how we actually accomplish what we're told to do there. And it says in Christianity, what these steps are based on, but the people teach others about Christianity often fail to take the time to import the things out to their people. I think it's caused by haste. People need direction, step-by-step direction on a personal basis. And this takes a lot of time. It really does. Lots of people keep hanging around, but they never learn it. Now, I was thinking about this. First century Christianity, Jesus lived, he died, he came back, people were around. How did they practice Jesus' teachings right after he died and left us? Well, that's what the Oxford group was all about, which was the foundation for the principles in AA, was the Oxford group, where they were trying to live first century Christianity before it was even written down. And they had four absolutes: absolute love, unselfishness, purity, and honesty. If you practice that in all your affairs, your days are going to be good. And then they had 6 steps to achieve that. And then we took those steps and we made the steps we have today. We expanded on that. And so that was first century Christianity, before all the rules and all the theology, you know, basically boiled down to the Sermon on the Mount and the book of James. It says, I think what's so powerful about the 12 steps is they've been boiled down to such a simple process. And I imagine Christianity was as simple at first. A lot of new people think the big book's very complicated. Anybody ever thought that? But it's really a few simple things told 1,000 times. Some people said they think it's 1,000 things, but it's just a few things told over and over again, the same principles. How to connect with God, how to get out of self, how to look at the manifestations of self, how to make amends, how to forgive. He says, step 10 is not something we do before we go to bed at night. It's something we do all through the day. That's why I may be wrong, but anybody that I try to work with, I try to get them into the step 4 through 9 as quick as possible so they can have tools in step 10. I tell everybody to read step 10 and meditate and pray on it, but unless you have the tools, you really don't understand. Because the columns you do in step 4 in resentment, you can do in your head right away as soon as you start getting something bothers you. I'm angry at this. The cause is this. It's threatening this. So God, save me from being angry. How can I be love and tolerant to this person? Change the way I see it. I'm back in some character defect. God, remove that character defect and go on. You can do that in 15 seconds. Or you can stay angry for 3 hours and call 8 people about it, which works better. As you do the first way, it works so well, you want to do it all the time. You don't want to waste time. It says, as soon as we feel something out of line, some discomfort, to pause, analyze it, find out what it was, and get rid of it. Now, the only thing I'd add to this is he doesn't talk about God, but it's implied that you're with God all the time. You're asking God's help in the morning to direct your thinking. You're asking God all day long, whenever you don't feel right, God, help me change the way I see it. As soon as you do that and pause and say that, it's already going to get better. It loses your power over you. Remember, it says it pause whenever agitated or doubtful. And what are you supposed to do? Ask God for the right thought or action. It says we're a lot less danger of doing all sorts of crazy things. I'm talking too much, my voice is getting dry. And it says, seemingly a few little hair-like roots can grow through a pipe. Seemingly not enough to do any harm, but when the little trash starts to pile up against those little roots, pretty soon you have a stopped-up drain. And we can start off getting a little irritated with our car, then we get irritated with the children, then we irritate everybody else, and our day's a mess. And who chose to do that? Who chose to be irritated? We did. And why are we irritated? Because we're playing God and we don't like the way things are. There's a prayer which I like which says, we're given a day, we're given the bread for the day. Bread means strength, and it means spiritual strength. Our daily bread, our daily spiritual strength, what we need to get through the day spiritually. It says, if we use it as we're supposed to, we could deal each day one day at a time. We have the substance for each day. We have the strength and courage and knowledge through God. And everything else we need to deal with things on a daily basis, we have it all. What we have to do is work our program so the negative things don't pile up. This is what step 10 for. It's our maintenance step that keeps open the strength that's naturally ours. Now, some people call it like a maintain steps, 10, 11, 12, and they think, well, you know, I've got here and I'm just going to maintain this. That's not what it says. It says on page 85, we maintain a fit spiritual relationship, and that's what saves us from alcohol. And what we're maintaining is really the channel that God works through me, through the world. Anybody like the St. Francis prayer? It's a good prayer. Anybody like it? I got these cards, our spiritual checklist. You're welcome to them. Patty made a bunch more. In the back is the prayer of St. Francis. I meditate this on every day, and believe it or not, I decided to memorize it. And I was able to do that. And I've been reading it for years, and I said, well, I could just memorize this. It says, make me a channel of the peace. I'm the channel. God works through me. All I do is get out of the way. I don't take credit. And I want to be a channel of God's peace. That's what we're talking about all day long in step 10. Whenever the channel's blocked, then I'm going to have hatred, wrong, discord, error, doubt, despair, shadow, sadness. I'm going to be misunderstood, and I'm not going to be loved. And I need to be a channel to bring love, forgiveness, harmony, truth, faith, hope, light, and joy. That's what my vision of God's will for me every day is, right? And I can't do that if the channel's blocked. Now, who blocks the channel? I do. Why would I do that? Well, he gave us free will. And we may see things initially through our self-centered, and then we have to stop and say, you know, channel's blocked, God. I'm seeing it wrong. All day long, all you're really doing is saying, what am I seeing wrong right now? And it's Chuck C. says, we're uncovered, discovering, discard those things in us that aren't God. I don't have to be the self-centered person. I don't have to listen to the thinker. Now, I do some days, and it may be fun for a few minutes sometimes, but it doesn't make me feel good anymore. I don't want to feel disturbed. I don't want to feel bothered. I want to feel just okay. I just want to be at peace. That's all we really wanted from alcohol and drugs, right? And we can get that now through step 10 each day through our relationship with God. After we work step 10, we have these promises, which I've talked about, the 10 step promises. It says we're restored to sanity, have a new attitude towards alcohol. They're on page 85. We're told that we were insane in one area, but now we can see it differently. I cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity is returned. So if the channel's open, sanity's returned, I can see the truth about alcohol, and I can see the truth about my self-centered thinking. And it says, I can see the truth about my resentments, my fears. Remember in step 2, we came to believe, I'm on page, I got it blocked out, but I turned the page. It's not on my handout, but it's the next page. It says, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Anybody believe that? So now I know it's true. So why would I want to be separated from the power when the power gives me sanity? And there's a condition on our being okay each day, and it says I have to be in fit spiritual condition. And fit spiritual condition just means the channel's open. When the channel's blocked, I'm not in fit spiritual condition. And the promises, and this is the word I didn't realize, say this is how we react to things if I'm in a fit spiritual condition. If I'm not in a spiritual condition, I don't react well. Anybody ever do that? And the consequences are not good. So I want to react in a fit spiritual condition from the way God sees it, not the way I see it. Now, when I'm angry and bothered, then I may react, but the result won't be good. I want to say, I don't want to be angry here, God. I want to be loving, tolerant, considerate. How should I react to the situation? A lot of times I don't have to do anything. I'm free of it. It just is what it is. It says, whatever problem we've had, they still exist, but we have a different attitude. They no longer be a problem to us if we remain in a fit spiritual condition by working our steps, especially step 10. A lot of us, this is true, get impatient, want to make as much progress in our program and lives as fast as we can. A lot of people come in, they want to work the steps all in one day. They want everything to be perfect, go on with their life, and everything's fixed. Well, that's not the program. It says most of our growth comes from working constantly and consistently. We're like an athlete who's training for a marathon. Our AA recovery is a marathon, right? And we have to, we take it each day, and we get stronger the more we do it. And if we stop doing it, we're not as strong, and we have to work harder to get back to where we are. It says that I think we get more done if we steadily chip away and polish rather than working in little spurts and then quitting. I think this is what step 10 is for. We tend to work really hard on ourselves in a crisis. Anybody do that? And when the crisis is over, we quit and rest. But that won't work for alcoholics, because we can create a crisis every day, every minute. And this is how we live one day at a time. One day at a time with God is better than living one day at a time with Michael. I don't want to do that anymore. And I know when I've done it, the day doesn't go well. Here's a great promise. The quality of our lives is up to us. Step 10 also gives us a lot of responsibility. It's as if by working the first 9 steps, we have grown up and we have tools to change. So here's the deal. You come in here each day, it's whatever happens is my responsibility. I can't blame anybody else for my day. Now, sure, the ceiling may cave in, right? Well, that's not a good thing, but I don't have to react in a certain way to that. I say, well, it just caved in. So I'll call somebody, we'll get it fixed. And we'll move everything out. We may not be able to work today. You see, just react differently. It says we can't blame it on anybody else. It's not his fault. It's not her fault. It's not God's fault. It's our responsibility, and I can change it. This is the powerful tool in AA. I can't change them. I can only change me. Remember, it says the greatest promise in the big book is on page, 62? Our problems are of our own making. If they're my own making, I can change the way I see it. I can't change them. When it's them, they have power over me. Remember, though, when it's someone else's fault, and here's what he says, there's nothing we can do, but when it's ours, we can be free, to make it right. And when it's them, we're in bondage to that. That's the bondage of self, your bondage to your self-centeredness. You blame them, you're angry, and you're in bondage to that. You don't want to be in that. Instead of asking like we used to, what did they do to me, we can ask, what did I do? Or how's my thinking wrong? No matter what they do to you, you don't have to be upset. You can pray and say, you know, it's just the way they are. How can I be helpful? How can I change it? And how can I be tolerant? I don't have to be upset anymore. That's really used to piss me off in the beginning, but now it's my mantra. It's my fault if I get disturbed. Instead of asking like we used to, we ask, what did I do? How's my thinking wrong? Regardless of other people's actions, we can change our reactions or choose not to react at all. I don't have to react to everything. I thought I always did. Anybody else like that? I always had to react, but I don't have to. I can just pause and sit back and say, it happened. And then say, God, what do I do now? And it says, every once in a while, we're going to make a mistake. Anybody do that? And get into trouble. But if we're good at working step 10, we're going to be able to catch ourselves quickly. This is very good stuff. It says, step 5 says we're going to have a spiritual experience, remember? And there's not been any update till we get to step 10. In step 10, we've entered the world of the spirit. Now we're living with the spirit, so we're experiencing the spirit all the time. Now the other thing about being in the world of the spirit, it says we have a spiritual awakening. So what it means is I was asleep to the spirit before I worked the steps. And what that means is that I was asleep that there is a world of the spirit. You see that? I was asleep that there is even this world of the spirit, because I was asleep to it. I was only awake to my world. And now I realize that there is another world. And that's the world I want to be in, not in this world. So I don't want to be separated and asleep to God anymore. I want to be awakened to God and asleep to me. And it was the other way when I came in here. That was a great tool. At steps 10, when we realize something is wrong, we do our step 4 column inventory, and I talked about that. It says, so when I'm in a problem, when I have a symptom or an uncomfortable feeling, I do a little inventory and I say to myself, am I selfish? Am I self-seeking? Am I frightened? And here's the one that's always true to me. If I'm judging anybody ever judge? You're an AA, it never happens, does it? I'm always being inconsiderate because they just are the way they are. People are just people. They're all God's kids. Some are sicker than others. That's just the way they are. And I'm being dishonest. One of the ways I'm dishonest is and we're going to look at this when we look at fears, I'm dishonest about my expectations for other people, what I expect from other people and myself, and that it's unreasonable. They're unreasonable expectations. There's only one way we can work this step. We can't do anything about the columns 1 through 3, but we can change columns 4. Columns 4, we look at our character defects, we give them to God, we practice the opposite. So whenever I'm disturbed, either I'm selfish, dishonest, frightened, inconsiderate, or self-seeking, I say, how can I be loved, patient, tolerant, kind, considerate, compassionate? Right on the spot. I'm bothered. I say, I'm not bringing love into this situation. I'm not being kind, tolerant, compassionate. And if I say LPTKCC, I stop. I stop the other way I'm seeing it. And it really helps me. The more you do it, the more it comes natural. And you always feel good. You feel great when you don't get upset about things that used to just dominate you. It says God is within us, so we have all the courage, love, and tolerance and patience we need, but I block that channel, right? So as soon as I unblock the channel, I am love, patience, kindness, and tolerance. When the channel's blocked, I'm back in the selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, afraid. And it says, the big book says, we have tapped an unsuspected inner resource of strength. And it says, love, courage, tolerance, and patience, these are powerful things we use in our lives. It's in the big book several places where it tells us we're to practice love, patience, kindness, and tolerance. It says on page 84, and how we live each day, love and tolerance of others is our code. It says, we pray every morning for the family and others that we show them love, patience, kindness, and tolerance. And it says, step 10 is how we nurture these things. And the more we nurture them, the more they grow. And we find that I change the way I see things and I react to them. Many people seem to fall into the trap of overloading their days with the problems of yesterday and tomorrow. Anybody ever do that? Well, what does that mean? It means that today I'm not in the now. I'm in yesterday. I'm carrying over resent from yesterday. That's why we do step 4, so we don't carry over all that crap. When we start to work step 10, we're free of all that stuff that we brought in here. Now, if I have a resentment that I've had for 3 days, and I wake up on the 4th day, I still have it, I'm not in the day. I'm still in that resentment. Let's say I'm afraid of something that's going to happen next week, that I'm sure is going to happen. Of course, it's nonsense. Well, then I'm in that fear. I'm not in the now. And the world of the spirit is only in the now. And so if I'm in yesterday or tomorrow, I'm not in the day and the now with God. So step 10 is how we stay in conscious contact with God through getting out of conscious separation with God and others, and how we stay in the now. Now, somebody said, it's the lady who wrote the Freedom of Bondage chapter that everybody likes. She gave this talk, and she said that she went to this course at Yale, and they talked about alcoholics. And they said, the main problem with alcoholics is very simple. Alcoholics never live in the now. They live in yesterday and tomorrow, and they block out the now. So right now, I'm in yesterday or tomorrow, and I'm not with God. And what the steps do, especially step 10, is learn us how to move yesterday and tomorrow away. So we're on that path. So the path we want to walk to God is in the now. And we can only walk that if we get out of yesterday and today. Think about it. Remember, we're given strength for one day, and we overload that day, it causes us problems. And we can see that step 10 will guide us to an efficient use of our daily strength. On page 88, it says, we look at our lives when we're agitated out for how we were so inefficient, how we wasted so much time. It says, and this is a great promise, the excitement of recovery is that it goes on forever. You see, we don't stop growing. I'm a lot different today than I was 10 years ago. I can look back 10 years ago and see the people that bothered me, and all it was just a waste of time. It was that's just the way they were. And I was seeing it wrong. A person who is in growth pattern can look back on his life every so often and see he's living in a world that he didn't even live in a year before. Anybody do that? It's just a miracle. I mean, all the things I told you tonight, I didn't know those 16 or 17 years ago. I had no idea. I thought it was all them. So I hope this was helpful. I talked a little bit longer today, but you know, this is the whole program for step 10. And so I encourage you, if you're new, get a sponsor and get in. The first three steps shouldn't take long at all, maybe 3 hours, and then get right into step 4, and step 4 can be done quickly, and then you do step 5 when you're doing step 4, and then you work on 6 and 7 the rest of your life, and you start your amends. Once you start your amends, it says the promises will come true, and you're in the world of the Spirit. That's why they took people through the steps very quickly, Dr. Bob, 4 or 5 days. Now, they didn't expect people to do it perfectly. They were getting them used to a tools and a way of living so they could try to live each day with God. And then they practiced quiet time, prayer, and meditation, and they talked to each other a lot every day, and they met so they could discuss how they were doing. So next week, we're going to pick up with step 11, which is great stuff as well. And it's how we use our prayer and meditation to be able to do step 10 better every day. And they go hand in hand.